You're listening to Zen Crossing, where spirituality meets everyday life, with your host, Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center.
Today, we'll be talking about the importance of breath awareness. Our guest today is Robert Lippman. For the past 27 years, Robert has guided clients and students in the use of movement, breath, and sound as a tool for personal growth, for restoring healthy breathing rhythms and structural alignment. He founded the Breathable Body in 2003, and he co-developed the Well Springs Practitioner Program. He is a teacher of the Buteyko technique of breathing, retraining, and of somatic pattern recognition. Robert's also a great friend of the Zen Center on Vashon Island, and he supports our practice in a number of ways, including the use of his beautiful property for several of our events each year. Thanks so much, Robert, and thanks for coming.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Robert, how did you come upon this path of being a breathing teacher?
There were two immediate reasons. One was that I had a daughter who was a severe asthmatic in the hospital many, many times, and I was looking for something to help her as a father, and I tried diet and all these different ways, and nothing really worked. And I went to a lecture of the Buteyko method by a Russian teacher. And having been an anatomy and physiology teacher at the college level, what she said made sense to me at the level of physiology. I thought, this makes sense to me. So I went to New Zealand for training, working with the indigenous population there for 5 weeks. It was a year-long program, but I was in New Zealand for 5 weeks. Only to discover for myself that I had asthma. And, you know, I'm 73, and I used to cough myself into breathlessness. And back when I was in the 50s, the people would say, oh, you have asthma, there's something wrong with you emotionally. You have to fix your mind, you have to fix your emotions. So my father never took me to the doctor, and luckily I didn't die. But when I went to the class and I said, you know, I used to cough to breathlessness, and they say, ah, that's cough variant asthma. That's not wheezing asthma, that's a different kind of asthma. So then I discovered that's what was going on with me all along. And so I was interested in that. Plus, I had been a body worker and a movement teacher. And generally, 9 times out of 10, people on the table just really didn't have any control of their breathing, didn't know how to use their breath properly. You could feel them, you know, being hungry for air most of the time. And so I just was really curious. Later on, I realized that it was a destiny. I was born in the 1940s, and I was a blue baby. I couldn't carry oxygen. I needed transfusions for 6 weeks. So I came in this world not being able to breathe.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you had to do this work.
I had to do this work. And not only that, it was an interesting thing that I was just traveling and teaching movement in England, and this woman asked me what was on my wish list. And I said, well, I wanted to go to New Zealand and learn how to be a Buteyko teacher. And she said, well, how much is that going to cost you? And I gave her a price, and she wrote me a check. And so it's, you know, it's been gifted to me, so I really enjoy giving it back.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about the breath. What is it about the breath that has such a transformative impact on our physical and mental selves?
Well, transformative is an interesting word because it can transform us into tremendous anxiety. It can transform us into incredible rest. So it has a very strong effect on our physiology, and it has a very strong effect specifically on our nervous system. So how we use our breath, how we attend to it, how we're mindful of it can soothe our nervous system. Or if we're mindful but don't have the information about how to use breath properly, it can trigger fight or flight quite easily and lots of anxiety. But I think the question comes from the place where it just makes us can feel better when we get mindful about our breathing. And so it's this marriage of our awareness with the movement of our breath and the movement of our body. And that's a very intimate relationship that's going on inside of us. And so the development of intimacy brings us into feeling connected. And that connection has a transformative effect.
Mm-hmm. Nicely put. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of breathing in Zen practice, of course.
Of course.
Sit down and breathe. My teacher said the two most important things that Zen brought to the West are breathing and posture. Mm-hmm. Before I started Zen, I was a mouth breather, and Zen mostly cured me of that. Mm-hmm. Tell me about breathing through your nose and how important that is.
Well, we say in Buteyko that the mouth is for eating and the nose is for breathing, and you breathe through your mouth as often as you eat through your nose. We really want people to understand that. I have a list at home of 30 physiological effects that happen just through using your nose for breathing, and we know the simple ones, which are it humidifies, it regulates the temperature, it cleans the bacteria, and it filters. Those two kind of go together. Mouth breathing, the example I usually use in class, if you're sitting in your room and a bear were to open the door and come in the room, the first thing you do would be take a big gasp through your mouth. And your whole attention span would be on the bear. You wouldn't be worried about whether the painting is hung crookedly or not in the room. Your heartbeat would go really fast. You'd probably turn white to take the blood out of the surface of the body down to the core. And you'd be in a fight or flight right away. And that event would be over really quickly. So the truth is, every time we use our mouth for breathing, it does trigger a little bit of fight or flight. And so we're always in the state of what's to do next? Where's the emergency? Nose breathing is completely the opposite. It goes into the parasympathetic nervous system, which says, okay, there is no threat here right now. We can settle, we can relax, and we can open up other perceptions of our nervous system rather than the one that's immediate threat. There is no threat. The danger today is that, I'm going to put in this little plug, is that, and this is the way this really worked, evolutionary, if you can use that word, the first defense mechanism that mammals came up with was freeze. And so if something came to the threat, they didn't move. Millions of years later, the second one that came up was fight or flight. I don't have to freeze. I can run or fight. So now, and those were real threats. Now the threats are all imaginary. Is our bank account going to be drained? Are we going to make the ferry in the morning? So those imaginary threats cause us to be in fight or flight. So nose breathing helps soothe that. But I'm going to put a plug in for this because it goes really well with Zen. The conversation today is developing a sense of presence. If we are in a sense of presence of what is here right now, not in our imagination, but what is really here, that's raining outside, I'm breathing, my body's moving, then there is no threat. So I think we're in a developmental period in our nervous system, in the human design, to really learn to use breath to create more presence. And that will soothe the fight or flight that most people are in the world through their imaginations. Because we may worry about the stock market or the rain or the ferry, but when you're sitting in your chair, those things aren't real. What's real is I feel the cold on my skin or the warmth. I feel the breath moving through my body. I feel my seat on my body on the chair. That's what's real in the moment, these moments of presence.
We lose touch with that so easily.
We do.
In the modern world. Mm-hmm. Do you think it was used to be better? Do you think we used to be more in touch with our bodies? I wonder.
That's a good question that I don't know that I can answer. I think in some cultures, yes.
I wonder about attention. Tell me about the awareness of your body and how that relates to the breathing.
Well, like I said earlier, when I breathe in, there is a change in the buoyancy. There's air coming in. So my body is going to expand, is with the common word that's used with that. Well, I live in a finite skin. So everything has to move when I breathe in and when I breathe out. So breath can make us aware more of what's going on in our body just by following the movement of it. See, most people, when they take a breathing class, are worried about whether they're breathing right correctly. Well, as soon as you start to think about breathing correctly, that's an anxiety-producing event, and therefore the breathing is going to go haywire. So my teaching of breath is just follow movement, because movement is what we are. We're always in movement. And if we follow the movement, then there's no right or wrong about it.
You mean movement of the breath, or do you mean
both?
Movement,
both movement of the body. Mm-hmm. They aren't inseparable. When breath is moving, body is moving. Because you, on the inhale, there's more buoyancy in the body, and on the exhale, there's more ground. So there's this conversation in breath of connecting to earth and connecting more to the sky. It's built in every particular breath.
Do you connect the earth and the sky to an in-breath and an out-breath, or do you connect that more generally?
Well, every basketball player knows that to go up, you got to go down. So when I'm connected on my exhale, which makes me heavier because I'm less buoyant, then I really feel my root. And if I can stay in touch with being connected to the earth, When I breathe in, then I'm moving from my root all the way up. It's like a tree. A tree's branches don't go any bigger than their roots. So it's the same thing with me. I cannot take a full enough breath if I lose my sense of where my support is. And my support is where my ground is.
Mm-hmm. We sometimes tell people to sit still. Mm-hmm. But I'm well aware that we are never sitting still.
That's right.
We're not running around when we sit on a cushion.
No.
But we realize how much our body is, in fact, in flux and movement, as well as the environment itself, mm-hmm. always in movement.
Yeah, when breath is really, when your body is being breathed by the breath, there's more of an oscillation. It's very hard to sit still. Sitting still inhibits the breath, but there's this general gentle rocking that happens. Like it's the wind over water in the body. The body's just being rocked by wind.
You use that as a place to look for, something to look for, to be breathed rather than to breathe.
That's right. Yeah. Mm. Then it no longer becomes conscious. I am at the delight of the phenomenon of being alive and being part of the movement of breath everywhere. That's one of the things that I really like about breath terms in terms of community, that this is one atmosphere, and according to James Lovelock and the Gaia Theory, we all create this atmosphere. Everything that's alive creates it. Mm. So our participation in it is very important, and we're all participating in the same activity as a community. All 6 billion people are all doing the same thing, along with animals and insects and everything else. We're all doing the same thing. Can't lose sight of that.
I wonder how this practice of teaching breath awareness has intersected with your own spiritual practice, or whether you see this practice itself as spiritual.
I do see it as spiritual. I really see the breath as sacred. I honor it as a sacred act, that I'm filled with gratitude every time a new breath arrives. That means my life will travel through one more cycle. And I'm grateful for that breath on the exhale, and recognize that I may get another breath, I may not. I'll never know. It's always a mystery. Mm. And I sit in the honor of that possibility. And so it's my spirit. My spirit is inhabiting my form. It's a journey from spirit to matter in each breath.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that taking a pause between breaths is something that you do in Buteyko Sutra.
Yeah, when somebody is breathing with a rhythm that really matches their activity level, there usually is, breaths. You can say it this way. In yoga has a value for 4 to 6 breaths per minute, which is a breath every 10 to 12 seconds. Mm. Part of that breath is the rest that comes at the end of the exhale, so that we're waiting for the next breath. We're not grasping for the next breath. The next breath will arise because the physiology is asking for it. Or as I like to say, at the emptiness, our heart's desire calls the next breath in. In Buteyko, we're looking at 12 breaths per minute. And in Western medicine, they look at 18, which is a little fast. But in my experience with working with people with asthma, they can breathe 20 to 30 times per minute. There's no rest in breathing. So the body is struggling all the time to breathe. So that pause at the end, when it can arise naturally, is a rest period. The body has time to rest. That's why the nose breathing and the resting and the settling, that's that part of that. I rest and settle into my breath, and it rests and settles with me until the next one is needed.
Sounds very restful, but I understand that athletes use this as well.
They do. My poster person is Sonia Richards-Ross, who is the fastest woman in the world at a quarter mile, and she's a nose breather all the way through that 440 yards, never opens her mouth. And she learned this method.
She did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
And it was told to me, and I don't know whether it's true, I have no validation of it, that the Russian astronauts learned how to use it because it really helped them maintain some more stability in their physiology, because it does come from Russia.
Yeah. Do you use sound in this technique?
Yeah, sound is interesting for me through my movement practice, because sound creates vibration. Mm-hmm. And so vibration, if I'm tuning my awareness and letting my attention follow what sensations arise, sound creates vibration and sensation. And then when I breathe after I've made a sound, my breath will go to where it vibrates. So it's, more of my body is now breathing. That's why I call my work the breathable body, because the whole body is in movement and breath. And sound helps wake that up so I can feel more of my body in movement.
Interesting, because we chant, of course, before we sit often.
And I've always loved chanting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Robert, thank you so much for coming.
It's a pleasure. Nice conversation. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.
All right.